Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. Time for our weekly visit with Dr. Kevin Most, Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital. Good morning, my friend. How are you this morning?
Dean, I am doing great. How about yourself?
It's a beautiful morning. You can't beat that. But, you know, we're still in the throes of this medical crisis here in Chicago, in the U.S., around the world. And I guess the number one thing that people are trying to understand now is the president's condition after being hospitalized last weekend after testing positive and being released from the hospital in what seemed a pretty quick turnaround. Now the president making his first appearance, public event, since being tested positive for COVID-19 yesterday. And now his medical team is saying that he is no longer a threat to anybody else. What's your take on all of that? We don't know if he's tested negative or not. We don't know if he's still positive, if he's negative. They're not saying anything, any specifics about his condition.
Yeah, you know, so it would be nice to have full transparency so that we can feel a lot more comfortable. His whole treatment was kind of bizarre, the way that he got it, how quickly he got it. And if he got these results from this Regeneron drug, you know, that's great. But, you know, he's an N of one, and we can't rely on medicine to that's only been tested on a small amount before we roll it out to the greater masses.
Yeah, well, that's the thing that, you know, people are saying. If the president beat this so quickly, you know, why not everybody else? Why doesn't everybody go on the same regime that he did?
Yeah, so if you look at the regime that he was on, obviously remdesivir has gotten a lot of press over the past few months and has been allowed to be used on many, many patients. Supplies of that are somewhat limited, but still available. The other drug that he was on, the Regeneron, the antibody drug, however, is still in a trial and is still has only been tried on 275 people here in the United States. So that one, I don't want to say was a shot in the dark, but, you know, he got that as well. And then he got dexamethasone, the steroid we've all been hearing about, which is extremely confusing to us in the medical profession because the study showed that it works well for individuals who need supplemental oxygen who are intubated on a ventilator. It didn't show any benefit whatsoever on individuals who did not need it and actually was detrimental in some people. So a little confusing as far as is, let's throw the kitchen sink at him and now try to figure out what worked.
So last night, the president's doctor said that he is no longer at risk for transmitting the coronavirus. When is a patient who has tested positive no longer at risk for transmitting the virus to someone else?
You know, it's interesting. When we look at this, and we wish we had a great answer for that, because we know that people can test positive for weeks. We know that individuals can shed virus for a long time. For him to make a bold statement like that without telling us what the results of the test are is a little concerning. I think if you see him in close proximity to anybody, those individuals should be masked completely. He should be masked. He should still, in my opinion, be treated as if he were positive. And unfortunately, that's not the case.
Yeah. Is it possible for someone to go from positive to negative in just a few days? I've never heard of a case like that. I don't know. That's why I'm asking you.
Yeah. And it's interesting. We don't know when he first tested positive, or excuse me, when he last tested negative. So in other words, he may have been positive well before his test on whatever that was that Thursday night going into Friday morning. So we're not even sure about when he actually did test start to be positive. For him to change that quickly would be very unusual. So, again, we're in the infancy of this illness. But here's an individual who would be deemed to be in a vulnerable population. You know, he's 74 years old. He's male and he's overweight. You know, he's got three strikes against him right there. So for him to turn negative that quickly either says something for the medications he was on or the timing, because I would doubt that it's his immune system.
Yeah, well, I guess his appearance yesterday was on the White House balcony. That seems like a safe scenario. But they are saying that he wants to get back out on the campaign trail this week. And you know, at his campaign rallies, people are not wearing masks for the most part, nor is he.
So two things there, Dean. One, we've shown already that what can happen when you don't wear masks. Look at the super spreader event that happened on the, on the White House property, where a large number of people were contracted the illness, as well as a lot in the West Wing. The other concern that I'm kind of surprised his doctor isn't putting his foot down more is, you know, when he said you're not out of the woods, and that is certainly true. We know that this is an illness that sometimes can get better and then can come back. So someone in his age group, I certainly wouldn't try to put him in a more stressful situation of travel, poor sleeping, you know, all the things that he's going to need to do to be out on the campaign trail.
Yeah, well, you know, we wish no ill will on anyone health-wise. But, you know, take precautions for yourself, and be considerate of others. That, you know, we've already learned what happens when people who are positive are in big group settings without masks and proper social distancing. So, you know, I guess all we can do is wait, because we all have a right to our privacy when it comes to health issues that we may be dealing with, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we have HIPAA laws, plus just as our profession, we kind of take an oath to not share information unless the patient wants it to be shared. So his doctor may be being dictated to say, this is what you can say, this is what you can't say. So you can't hold that against him. I wish he would lead by example, because he's kind of undermining what we are saying and what we're trying to tell people as we try to slow this down. And, you know, people can say we're arguing two different things, and we may be. You know, he's saying how a lot of asymptomatic people have this, which definitely is true. Our concern, and we have to understand this concern, is that stress that another wave would put on the healthcare system.
Right.
And we cannot afford that from a supply point of view, from a staffing point of view, from a whole different bunches of views. This would put quite a stress back on the health system if this were to occur.
Yeah. So explain to me the screening for coronavirus antibodies in neighborhoods program, the SCAN program. This is something that was done by Northwestern, among other places, right?
Yeah, it's a Northwestern-based study, and it's actually fascinating. When, you know, we talked about the two kind of tests. One is the virology test. Do I have the virus right now? The other is the antibody test. Did I have the virus in the past? We know that right now about 3% of Chicago has tested positive, you know, something like 85,000 positives in Chicago out of 2.7 million, so about 3%. What this study is doing is it took five sets of contiguous zip codes, so 10 zip codes across the city of Chicago, and they sent out 3,000 tests. And these tests that they're doing now, you don't have to come in. You just prick your finger, put a drop of blood on a card, and you mail it back in. It is much more highly sensitive and specific and much more accurate than the commercial tests that we have been developing. The amazing thing is that what we're seeing is a 20% positivity rate. In other words, one in five people in Chicago, in these areas that have been tested, were exposed to the virus, when really we only saw a 3% positivity rate for those who have tested positive for actually having the virus.
Right. So the higher rate of people who came back positive, does that mean that there are more antibodies available now than we thought originally?
Yeah, it's showing us that there are more people that are immune, more people have been exposed to it than they knew. Probably one of the most important things about this study, though, is going to be it going forward. So if you sent in a card and they said, oh, by the way, you're positive, you say, wow, I don't even remember having that. Okay, great. We're going to gain some information from you. But what's going to be more important is we're going to send you another card in a couple months. Are the antibodies still there? That's the question that we need to know. Is you can get antibodies right after an infection, but we want to know how long will they last, and will we get protection beyond a couple of months? Will we get protection at 6 months, at 8 months, at 10 months? So this study is going to look at a whole bunch of things, the impact of genetics, diet, sleep habits, occupations, everything on this. And The one thing is, you know, when you looked at the study, and I said it was five contiguous zip code areas, so that we looked at a select group. With these results now, they're opening this up, and they're looking for people to get on this study. So if you want to get in this study, it's simple. You don't have to go to a doctor's office. You go online and apply. They send you the card. You mail it back in. You get your results. So it would be great, and it would give us a better view of the entire Chicago metro area instead of just Chicago right now.
So the scan study that Dr. Most was talking about, if you would like to participate, you simply go to scan.northwestern.edu, scan.northwestern.edu. And, you know, the rest will be pretty self-explanatory. So I have a question to start off our question period, and that's about going out to dinner. You know, it's been easy to do when the weather's been nice outside. It's, you know, starting to get chilly. Went to a restaurant last night with some friends. We sat outside and froze to death, even though we were sitting right next to a heater. We were right next to a heater. So, I mean, you know, dining outside is really not going to be an option pretty soon, just about everywhere. Is it still safe to go to restaurants that are spaced apart, socially distanced, seem to be taking, you know, the proper precautions?
Yeah, this is going to be the one that's going to really test us and see. The interesting thing was we have said since the onset that this was a droplet dispensed virus. In other words, droplets cause it. And droplets go about 6 feet. And that's why we're saying all restaurants should have their tables, you know, 6 to 8 feet apart. The problem is the CDC is now identified, as was thought by about 200 scientists in the middle of June, that this could also be aerosolized. And you say, well, what is the difference? Well, the aerosolized means that it can travel a greater distance than 6 feet when you're in a closed environment, like a restaurant. Not so much when you're outside where it can be diluted very quickly. But right now, restaurants should be looking at how often do we turn over our airflow in the rooms? What are our air turnovers? How good is our ventilation system? Because that's something that health departments are going to start to look at. If you get into a dated restaurant with closed environment and very poor circulation, I think you have a chance now that you're going to start to see more cases, which is unfortunate because it's the one time that you can socially do something and really be careful.
Yeah.
And again, it's also make sure you go in your pod. You know, the people that you know, that you trust are doing what you want them to do for the rest of the time.
Does that also apply to essential service stores, like, you know, grocery stores, you know, things like that? Same kind of thing that we need to think about spreading out even a little more?
Yeah, it certainly does. You know, and again, grocery stores usually very high ceilings, and I'm not sure exactly how their ventilation is. But the study that came out of China that showed that, you know, a table 22 feet away was exposed to individuals was one that tipped this to, for us to say, boy, we need to start looking at aerosolized and controlled closed environments and be much more careful.
Yeah. Here's Armand on WGN with Dr. Kevin Most. Hi, Armand.
Good morning. I understand when this pandemic started, Switzerland and Sweden did very little to prevent the spread of the virus. If that is in fact, how did the program work? They were going to provide as much medical care as they possibly could, accepting the fact that the more vulnerable people in the population might pass away prematurely. If that's true, how did their program work for them?
Yeah, if you look at some of those studies or some of those countries, they're doing okay. If you look at Sweden, you know, Sweden took the thing saying, hey, you know what, let's just infect everybody and see if we can get some good herd immunity. Two things happened. One, they had a higher death rate, and two, they didn't get to the level of herd immunity. I think the bigger concern of what we don't know is what's going on in many of these underdeveloped and third world countries, as far as they have limited ability to decrease their social distancing. They have limited ability for masking, and those are the ones that we're going to have the most concern of as many in their population are vulnerable. So I think we haven't even seen the impact yet in some of the African countries and actually even some of the Middle Eastern countries.
All right. We're going to have to leave it there because we're out of time, but it's always good to talk to you. Appreciate all the good info every week. Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern's Central DuPage Hospital. Enjoy your day, Kev. Thank you.
You got it, Dean. Take care.